You're listening to The Mixtape Remedies,
a podcast about the therapeutic impact music has on our lives and our creativity. I'm Emma.
And I'm Matt. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking with the keeper of the book, Marcus Konkar. And the song we're going to be talking about is
Poison Tree by Grouper. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Not long enough. That song is not long enough.
I feel like that's every wow. song I heard.
I feel like I'm blue balls a little bit.
Wow. All right.
This song is infamous for having one of those 10-hour mixes on YouTube.
Oh, I believe that. And that would be great.
Oh, that's great.
I could go for that right now.
Oh, I love that.
Kind of, it always reminds me of not the song itself, but those remind me of the XX's intro.
Uh huh. Yeah.
I don't know that.
It's in everything. It's just an instrumental song.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know the XX's, right?
Maybe.
Black album cover with it has like an X on it, right?
Probably.
I did not mean to detract.
It's
us.
Fine. It's fine.
No. But anyway,
we get detracted a lot.
We do that. That's
that's kind of
half the charm.
Yeah,
of
that's
show.
Kind of our thing.
Anyway, welcome to the show, Marcus. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Like what?
What brings you here today?
Big fan of music, and I listen to it kind of obsessively.
Cool. Nice. That's good.
You know, I think listened to this song 70 times in the past week.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm okay. I honestly feel the same desire to
I just
do
want
so.
To add it to a playlist and just put it on loop. But
yeah.
Also, or just listen to one of those 10-hour mixes, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
I should
it's already
just do
been
that.
Done, Matt. It's already been done.
But, I mean, like, when you sent us the song that we were going to use, I just put that song on first, but then I shuffled everything else after, and I ended up listening for literally until you showed up.
Dang.
A while, yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to get lost in this band's music.
I get you, yeah. I feel like, yeah, because a lot of the stuff kind of feels independently powerful from itself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, even though it's all kind of ambient and washy, it kind of works together.
Yeah, for sure.
I think something I really like about this song is that it's still kind of like playing at the back of my mind. Like, it's yeah. complex, but like simple at the same time. And it's really easy to like latch onto and yeah. feel comfortable with.
That arpeggio, that arpeggio, that just constant mm-hmm. pulsing arpeggio is just always kind of, I can hear it in the back of my mind right now, mm-hmm. even right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's like really comfortable.
It's great.
I love it a lot because, yeah, it's the same melody throughout the whole song.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just the same notes with like that kind of like offbeat bass line,
uh-huh.
but she sings differently over it, so I feel like it really works well
yeah.
into like
yeah.
breaking it up.
Yeah. And her melody is kind of monotone a little bit too. She doesn't move very much.
Yeah. But it's
not monotone, but like it's pretty,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pretty,
like, yeah. She goes up and down at yeah. just very specific points most mm-hmm. of the time. Mm-hmm. Just kind of.
It's very speech like too, kind of.
Mm-hmm. And it feels improvisational.
Well, Marcus, I want to know a little bit about the song and your first encounter with the song and Grouper.
Sorry. My partner showed me the first song on that split. It's a split EP with someone else, and it's called Little Gray Cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right at the beginning of last summer, I would just kind of listen to that song all day and kind of. It's a weird song. It just you cannot understand the vocals at all, and it kind of feels like lying down on a Sunday afternoon when it's like super bright and oversaturated.
100%.
And the song would go to Poison Tree every time, and I would listen to the first few seconds. And I'm like, nah, fuck that shit. I need to go back. I need to listen to Little Gray Cat. And then I kept trying to find lyrics for Little Gray Cat, and I couldn't. And eventually I just read the lyrics to Poison Tree, and I realized what a... I don't know. It's a... it's a really impactful song, like lyrically. And then, so then I just kind of been obsessing about it for a while.
Yeah. There's a lot of juicy context to this song.
Yeah.
Which I'm relieved. Not relieved, but I feel like the past couple episodes we haven't really had much lyrical content to tear apart. Not tear apart, but devour, if you will. So from that point, it's kind of just been a band, an album that you visit often.
What, Grouper?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you actually mostly for about almost a year, that mm-hmm. one song.
Really?
Yeah, I was just listening to Little Gray Cat constantly. Mm-hmm. And then I think within the past few weeks, I was going to pick a different song for this show, like when I was coming on, and then intuition told me not to.
Yeah. Oh. You always got to follow your gut.
Yeah.
Always.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
No. Star Wars. Do it.
Oh, sorry.
You ruined that. Okay.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So upon discovering the song and looking at the lyrics, what was your initial impression of the lyrics and the context of that?
For a while I didn't know, but it's based off of a poem.
Uh-huh.
But first going into it, I think I really liked it because it's so, I guess self-indulgent is the, uh-huh. the word I would use. Just like, she is just inviting poison into her body. She just wants bad things to come. And I think I appreciate that because that's kind of very similar to a lot of the stuff I like to make. Mm-hmm. And so it was just kind of nice to hear that, I guess, repeated back to me.
Right. Yeah.
Especially in art form. But I, when I found it was based off of a poem by William Blake. Mm-hmm. And when I read that poem, it made a lot more sense. And I realized the whole song is kind of about, like if someone does something to like anger you and holding that in and allowing it to like grow into this poisonous life form mm-hmm. that then hurts others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's really relatable. I don't know about y'all, but I feel like I've done some mean shit to friends in the past.
Yeah. Well, it kind of just like boils up into like resentment. And then, well, I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking about, of like just harboring that anger until it boils up into like a form of like resentment with someone you once loved. And then it just kind of sours in a way. And then like becomes impactful, like a poison to mm-hmm. them. If that makes sense. I don't know. That's kind of what I was thinking about. Yeah.
Yeah,
Matt's face is so confused. Well, do you not understand what I'm saying?
I don't understand at all what you're saying.
I might be able to help.
Yeah.
The last line of the poem, because the whole poem is like basically like my friend made me mad. I told my wrath did end. Mm-hmm. Like, and then my foe did the same. Like, that's not how it was worded, but you know, basically then, but I didn't tell them and it grew and it grew. And the mm-hmm. poem ends with basically like this poison tree growing with poison fruit. And then the enemy coming in to steal the fruit from the narrator. And then being like, at the end, it's like, in the morning, I was glad to see my foe laid stretched out beneath the tree.
Yeah.
So I think what that one was saying was just how like you like birth poison into the world and that will hurt those around you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. That's exactly what I was saying. Like, you are the tree. Mm-hmm. You become the tree.
Yeah.
Or at least in my perspective. Because, I mean, in the song, she's saying, make my branches, make my leaves. Like,
I like that because it switches perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah. Because at the beginning, it is the poison. And then, and then towards the end, it's like, yeah, no, that's me.
She's become it.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how those little things that might cause anger over time, like, and when I think of trees, I think of time. I think of like, you know, when you think of like the rings, mm-hmm. when you cut it, like just hundreds of years. And so just like the idea of like time harboring anger, turning into poison.
You know, I honestly did not think about it that way, but that doesn't make a lot of sense because a tree is something that grows.
Yeah.
Emma always has the hot takes. She's always got the hot takes.
Sometimes it's a hot stretch.
Yeah.
But
that was a good, yeah, no, I totally see that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think all of that is 100% original content, because like I was kind of reading about it too, but briefly.
Okay, way to out yourself.
Yeah, you could have sounded cool.
Yeah, no. You almost just sounded really profound.
Honest. I gotta be truthful.
That's fair. That's fair.
You know, in Minecraft the other day, I picked the...
Sweet lead in.
We play Minecraft together.
I picked the god of truth. I gotta stay true to
oh,
my...
Oh, we're on a server with our friends, and we play Minecraft together, and they have this mod where you can pick a god, and it asks for sacrifices. And I'm the god of beauty. And Emma's the god of truth.
Yeah, what was the other god?
The god of power.
The god of power. What would you have chosen, Marcus?
Ooh.
Beauty, truth, or power?
Oh, is it only those three?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit, I was trying to think of my own. shit, I don't know. Power sucks. Truth is overrated. So I guess beauty?
Hell yeah, brother.
But not beauty in like a superficial sense. Like, yeah. You know, like I want to think it's like a... All around beauty,
yeah,
and superficial sense included, because that's cool. It's cool to like yourself.
It's cool to be good looking.
Yeah, it's cool to be good looking, but you know, it's also cool to look at the world and not feel like shit.
Yeah, that too. Also,
maybe second.
Yeah,
I think we need to start asking all of our guests what god would you choose.
Choose your god
this week in Minecraft. I'm kidding.
Hey, along those lines, I love asking really heavy loaded questions in situations where someone can't answer them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I feel like if maybe you twist into that.
Yeah.
You have 10 seconds to answer, though. Hurry.
Yeah.
So, learning about the... I'm taking it right back.
Yeah.
Coming around.
No, thank you.
You're the one. Good at this. Yeah, you're good at this.
Learning about the real... Or not the real, but the intended meaning of the song that the artist had. What impact that meaning have on you? I mean, you said, I know I've, like, hurt some friends in the past and that kind of thing, but... how do you feel like you carry this message or this meaning? Roundabout question. I'm sorry.
Okay. Am I a dick if I ramble a little bit?
No, it's fine.
Okay. Cause, it kind of reminds me, do you guys know the band, The Taxpayers?
I've heard of them. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they have, there's an album there's called God Forgive These Bastards, which is mm-hmm. about this homeless dude. And it's like a whole bunch of songs about him. And, there is a book that the singer wrote to go along with as a secondary
piece. Yeah, Mira told us about this. Yeah. We need to listen to the album. We're terrible friends.
Yeah.
I did.
Oh, okay. Didn't you? I'm a terrible friend.
That's actually, I think independently of each other, Mira and I were both super into that album in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But the book basically is all just kind of about forgiveness. In the last chapter, the singer kind of goes into this whole thing about whether or not it doesn't matter if this story is real. And then he just says, he's like, it doesn't matter if it's real or fake. All I know now is that, you know, I have some friends to call up.
Mm-hmm.
Basically implying like, you know, things like this you can take from it. He's like, but bringing it back into like, I just need to go like be straight up with people that I've hurt.
Yeah.
And so I think... Years ago when I heard that, I went, yeah, that's cool. Forgiveness seems all right. And then I didn't really, like, drive that home. So I think listening to that song and conversations I've been having with people recently kind of made me solidify the lesson that I should have learned back then.
Yeah.
And kind of think about the, healthier ways to approach people and confront issues.
Yeah.
Like instead of like being like continually hurt about some dumb superficial thing, like realizing what you did and like how you contributed.
Yeah. And even like if you from a like a not from a victim perspective, but like from the other perspective, thinking about, you know, even if you were harmed in a situation or hurt in a situation, you might have contributed to that and having that realization. Or to part of that, you know?
Definitely, yeah.
It goes both ways. That's that saying, you know, sometimes.
Well,
sometimes people are actually, like,
shitty
victims. Yeah.
To go along with that, too, because I think the thing that made me think about it was, like, back in a situation where a friend did something to me and I did nothing to communicate that I was hurt.
Yeah.
And that, so then I decided to just be an asshole to them and stop talking. And then, I think, that's bringing back to the song. It made me realize, like, how, like, what I brought into the situation and how I let some stupid, like, situation fester.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then hurt others.
Yeah. I, after I graduated high school, I apologized to so many people. Like, the few years after high school, man, like, I had a full-on, like, coming around where I was like, man, like, that, ugh. And so I just, like, some of my really good friends, like, even then, like, I just hit them up and was like, I'm sorry. Like, I was kind of a punk in high school. Like, I was kind of a shithead. I'm sorry. Like, I hope we can, like,
wow,
be cool.
Yeah.
And, like, I still keep in touch with them somewhat, you know, but
I don't think I
don't carry that weight anymore. I don't feel that guilt anymore.
I know? Really, like, hate, carrying around stuff. So I'm always, like, the first to apologize, even if I don't feel like I've done anything wrong, because I just, like, hate confrontation and, like, having people upset or angry with me. So I'm always like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, like, instantaneously. So I've never, like, years after, months after the fact, or weeks or whatever, like, apologize, because I'm usually pretty like, in the moment. But one time, you sharing the story about, like, after high school, you apologized to a bunch of people. I had this girl who was a huge bully to me in elementary school that I completely forgot about. She found me on Facebook in early adulthood and, like, sent me a message and was like, hey, I'm sorry I was a jerk to you about, like, your weight and stuff, and you're a really cool person and I'm happy to see you happy. And I was like, wow, thank you.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like I've been on the other end of that.
Yeah.
So when that happened, did you not feel, like, weird? Because I feel like I've always not wanted to, like, approach someone, like, there's people where it's like, you know, it's like, oh, hey, sorry I kicked your ass in junior high or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I don't want to, like, put the onus on them.
Yeah.
And so do you feel like in that scenario, did you feel fine with, like,
I was like, oh, that's nice, but I completely forgot about that. Like,
fair enough.
I was like, oh, you know, I wasn't, like, irritated or whatever about it. I mean, I remember feeling the initial feelings that I had towards her. Like, I was like, oh, she's such a bitch, you know. But then, like, after that, I was like, oh, well, at least she went out of her way to say something.
Yeah.
But I want to backtrack to the song. Because,
Oh, yeah.
What we're here for. Kind of what you were saying is that it was a space that you were able to practice just, like, personal insight and, like, mindfulness and awareness of a situation, or reflect on yourself, which is such a great thing about music, and not just music, but I think a lot of other art forms as well, is it can be that, like, safe space to experience these things or realize these things or, like, practice this inner mindfulness. And this song is such a comfortable space, like the way that it sounds, the instrumentation that's used,
yeah,
the tempo, her vocals. When we first sat down, you said something and I forgot what it was. You were like, this song sounds like,
I think I said drowning.
Yeah. And I was like, 100%. I feel like you're drowning, but, like, in a beautiful pool of blue water with, like, sunlight,
but,
you know, like,
but
it's,
you're,
like,
still drowning.
It's so, yeah, exactly. Like, it's, like, kind of bittersweet.
I don't know. No, I get you. I feel like when I was talking earlier about Little Gray Cat, the first song on that split, that's how I feel, where it's like, it kind of feels like, I didn't want to include it earlier because I didn't want to be dark for no reason, but it's like, you know, if you're just, like, dying in the middle of the day and you're just like, all right, guess I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's like, that's kind of how it feels.
Yeah. Like we talked about a couple episodes ago, Comfortably Numb.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about it in Comfortably Numb too, is like sometimes when we're, like, in that negative headspace and we've, like, accepted these negative outcomes such as death, right? We find comfort in that acceptance. A lot of times they'll, like, make amends. They'll give away their stuff. They're so much happier. They have, like, a really happy, because they've, like, accepted.
Yeah.
That there's an end.
Okay.
And they find comfort in that idea.
I was going to say, to go on with you, I think, because suicide's a hard topic.
Yeah. For sure.
But I feel like, to go with what you're saying, because I feel like on a surface level, it sounds like pro suicide, yeah, but I think it, like, I
point I'm trying to get at is, no, I don't think this song is like about suicide. I agree with you. I think it's like something negative happened and I need to like amend this. I need to like not do this. I don't know.
I feel like the positivity idea of this song, I feel like is implied, because I feel like it's like the song, the content of the lyrics are so self-loathing. Like if just like, just like, oh, like I'm this well of poison. I'm going to let it grow inside of me. I'm going to like spew that everywhere. Mm-hmm. And like she feels like she's trying to like rationalize that in a lot of lyrics. Like there's a line of like, at least I'll still have company. My inside tiny poison tree. And then it's like, you know, that's just, oh, it's not cool to be alone, you know? And so she's trying to think like, oh, I got myself. I have my own unhappiness to be my friend. But I think the implied positivity of it, like with what you're saying about like, you know, being comfortable with these things, I think comes from the fact of reading the poem and knowing that it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
The poison is a bad thing. Yes. You know that as a rational person, but viewing that from a third point of view, you can see kind of yourself and how like justifiable you get with your negativity. And then, you know, thinking like, oh, well, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't get myself to that place.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I two things that you mentioned was the implied positivity, which I very much agree with. It's almost kind of like, looking at the lyrics and thinking about the music, it's almost kind of like a kind of a lullaby in a way.
Yeah.
But in a good way.
I was going to say that. Yeah. It's like this is a kind of a.
Yeah. But then also you mentioned like rationally we know things and like. Yeah. It was like how I talked about emotional mind and rational mind the other day, and how like this song is very emotional mind, but then coming at it from a rational perspective, being like, yeah, okay, that would suck. That is shitty.
Yeah, with what you're saying, I not to be the BoJack Horseman one man stand.
Yes, let's hear it.
I fucking talk about the show all the time, but with that, it kind of, thinking about it, reminds me of, I don't know if y'all seen it, but there's an episode called Stupid Piece of Shit, where BoJack walks around and just, there's animations in his brain where he just keeps doing that to himself, of just thinking of what you're talking about, of your emotional mind. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so the whole day, it's just him calling himself like, oh, you stupid piece of shit, you suck, I hate you.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's, you know, just like pure emotion mind.
Yeah, yeah. Totally, totally.
Sure.
How has the song or this band influenced you creatively in any sort of creative endeavor in your life?
I think when I started listening to Grouper like about last year, it was a mixture of Grouper, and then, do y'all know a person named Advanced Bass?
I do not.
No.
Have you ever heard of a band called Cassiotone for the Painfully Alone?
No.
I have not. That's a cool band name.
I was like, Grouper kind of reminds me of like Yowler or like the Choctaw Twins.
Is that how you say that?
Choctaw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not known for the longest time.
They're a native.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I've just heard a million different pronunciations of that.
Cockatoo-eo?
Yeah.
Shit like that. It's C-O-C-T-E-A-U. Something like that.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's Choctaw.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I showed someone Grouper the other day, and they said that sounds like them.
But yeah.
They said another pronunciation.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. Matt here, saying that it's actually Cocteau, and it has nothing to do with Native Americans. I was very wrong, as usual. Yeah.
But either way, they're not very similar. Advanced Bass is, he uses a lot of like looping.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so he'll have like a looper pedal to play his drums, and then he'll play piano on top of that. And so I think both of those, I artistically, after listening to Grouper, I was like, all I want to do is just make delayed reverb music.
Yeah.
So it kind of made me want to buy a like a loop pedal.
Yeah.
And I've been working on some music for the past year, and I think that's kind of influenced some of it to just kind of be drowned out and like
just washy, reverb filled, delay.
Yeah,
sounds like you're singing at the end of a hallway, a long, long hallway.
Yeah.
Gosh, those are my favorite types of songs.
Well, like, that's the thing. If bands that can do that, like, live are so much fun to watch because you can just, like, close your eyes and just, like, meditate. Like,
Well, like, straight up, that is why we find comfort and relaxation in music is because of that repetition. Repetition's really good for relaxation and meditation, all those things, because we know what to expect.
Yeah.
And so we find comfort in that, and there's no anxiety of anticipation.
And that's why this song is so cool, is because that arpeggio is just repeating straight for 3 minutes and, 15 seconds? 16 seconds? And you don't really get sick of it because the song is kind of just this warm blanket that you're drowning in. But like that repetition becomes kind of the comforting thing and you get it stuck in your head and you sing it to yourself. It's honestly kind of like that mantra, the idea of a mantra.
Yeah, exactly.
That arpeggio is kind of like an auditory mantra. You can just repeat it to yourself and it's like, yeah, I like that song.
Exactly. Well, it's like when people don't necessarily have a, like a Buddhism spiritual perspective of, and they're like skeptical of the idea of a mantra. I'm always like, hey dude, just pick your favorite lyric and repeat that over and sing it over and over and over again. And you'll find some solace in that. There. Yeah.
Yeah. People get, I feel like with the ideas of mantras too, like from an outsider perspective, a lot of time people will think that they are like, I guess, powerful in themselves. Like, they're supposed to be magic words.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, that's never what goes into those things. It's never, like, you know, calling back to earlier, if you go around your day just calling yourself, like, a stupid piece of shit, you're going to feel that. That's your mantra. You're going to feel that all day.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. Like, I think it's just that, that repetition of just, like, oh, this is cool. This is all I'm doing today. I'm feeling great.
Yeah. Totally. 100%.
Well, that's, like, another thing with, like, that positive reinforcement, that positive self-reinforcement is like, we do believe it. Our minds naturally want to like believe things and our minds naturally like seek the truth first. And that's why like cynicism and stuff comes from, or skepticism comes from like harm or negativity is because like our mind is like, yeah, that's true. And then when it turns out not to be true, we get defensive about that.
Yeah.
But like, so what you were saying, like that positive reinforcement or like telling things, positive things to yourself or realistic things to yourself is going to be more healthier and you're going to believe that rather than
saying I'm a poison tree.
Yeah.
I'm a poison tree.
I'm a stupid piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, except when you call your significant other a piece of shit endearingly and then
which Emma does to me.
When we first started dating, like Matt would tease me and I'd be like, oh, don't be a piece of shit.
No, it was more like,
then he like liked it and I was like, why do you like
it? It was more like, well, no, it's more like, rub my shoulders, you piece of shit.
That never happened.
I'm just kidding.
No. If that happens endearing. To you, it's that's probably a domestic violence.
No, I get it. I talk with my friends and partners like that all the time.
Yeah, we love ribbing on each other. That's half of our relationship.
We do that to our
teasing.
Cats, too. Our cats will be laying there and will be like, fuck you. How dare you be so cute?
My dog started responding to the name Stinky, and I feel so bad because... Because I was like, you're so stinky. And she just took that as like a come here response.
So now she responds to Stinky.
Need to give our cats positive reinforcement.
Nah, cats don't care.
I think they just read tone. So yeah. I think if you're saying like stinky, like all fun, they're like, oh yeah, cool. This person's being fun.
Yeah.
I
just scream it. I just like, you fucking piece of shit. Fuck you.
You know, I had a friend who used to do that to his dog and he thought it was funny. And I was like, dude, your dog just thinks you suck.
Oh, yeah. See, I always follow it up with lots of pets and I usually pet them while I'm saying
like,
it.
I'm just kidding. I love you
but
so much.
I definitely insult my cats constantly because they would do the same to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Cats are rude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a huge nerd and back to what you were saying about cynicism.
Uh-huh.
I'll quote a song lyric. Sorry. Love doing that.
Yeah.
One of my favorite song lyrics is, Cynicism isn't wisdom. It's just a lazy way to say that you've been hurt and you think after you'd be less certain after everything you've ever learned. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's exactly what you were saying, is just kind of like that uncertainty. Yeah. But, you know, you now think that it's, oh, it's a guaranteed thing that I'm going to get fucked over here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then you leave yourself, you know, I don't know. I'm going to stop there.
Vulnerable? She gestured to me. She gestured to directly. She was like, you just, and then you waved your arm at me.
No.
You gestured to the whole of me. You were like, you just get this.
No, I was turning to you.
I am very
and, like,
cynical.
Gestureing to Matt because I wanted you to fill in the blank.
I am incredibly cynical. I will admit that.
I also know when to be optimistic.
Yeah, I know when to be optimistic. Like,
I'm the optimist.
But I tend to approach things with a healthy dose of skepticism, but I don't try to be a jerk about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of hard to find that balance. I definitely used to be the annoying skeptic of everything where I'd be like, oh, guys, what if this sucks, though?
Yeah, that was me, too. Or like, well, actually, you know, now it's less of that
phrase.
Yeah, now it's actually just I read something, I ask myself, I answer it myself, and then I move on with my life. I don't post about it. I don't correct people in the comments. Like, it doesn't matter. None of it matters.
That's not a productive way to live your life?
Yeah, no, it's not a productive way.
Shit, I've been wasting time.
Because I was guilty of that for many, many years.
First of all, I was not gesturing, so please don't take it personally.
It's fine, I didn't.
Second of all,
I'm joking, I'm teasing you. As we do.
As we always do, I'm always the butt of the joke. I'm kidding. Okay, so cynicism. What was the song that you quoted, by the way?
Cynicism by Nana Grizzle.
Oh, Nana Grizzle. Okay,
we did an episode about Nana Grizzle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you
They're
should
cool.
check it out.
Adam. It starts with Adam.
That's the song name.
Yeah,
I think I know which one you're talking about.
I think it's Adams.
They're really cool.
Atoms.
Yeah.
Not Adams is in the name.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you were saying Adam.
Adam.
That's what I do.
Adam.
I put a soft D everywhere.
Sorry, yeah. Atom.
I'm from Utah.
Atom.
It's a mountain.
Mm.
Random thought about Nana Grizzle. They're really cool because they're like a folk punk band, but they were like friends with and a part of Nutrimilk Hotel's label, Elephant Six.
Oh.
And I love telling people that because they're like,
They don't expect that.
They don't expect it, yeah.
Because Nutrimilk Hotel, obviously, is so, like, exalted.
Yeah, yeah, they're like...
And then you have, like, this folk punk band that's kind of quirky and kind of interesting.
Like, a few people know.
Mm-hmm. That's... honestly, I'm shocked. What? I am shocked by that.
Yeah, there's also a weird thing, too, is that that record label still works and has a bunch of bands.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's pretty cool, though.
Absolutely. Well, I was going to just turn to you and say, you want to ask your question, but we kind of already know the answer.
Yeah, we kind of already know the answer. Like, what do you see in your mind's eye when you listen to this song? Like, what do you kind of envision?
This is interesting. So music's one of the few things that I can have, like, visual imagery to. Uh-huh. I've always had a really hard time. Like, you know, the whole thing where people, picture an apple in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is it red? Does it have depth? Is it two-dimensional? Things like that. I can never do that. I don't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
But with music, I feel like it's easier to process that kind of stuff in my head. And I feel like, you know, I think drowning is an easy route to that. But I feel like this song kind of just feels like any visual representation of desperation, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite know how to, like, describe anything right now, but it's really like, I don't know, I think whenever I listen to this kind of music, I just imagine, like, metaphorically attacking myself in a way. I don't know if that makes sense, but definitely, you know, just like taking blows in, like, all of your mental parts.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
it's just
like
literally reacting. It's literally like a space of self-realizations, self-awareness, right? Is that kind of what I'm getting?
Yeah, maybe a little meaner than that.
Yeah.
A little more rude to your own feelings.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if I were to, like, if I were to walk up to myself and, like, kick myself in the groin, but in an artistic way.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Because I feel that. Like, when I'm writing lyrics, oftentimes they're about things that have actually happened to me. And when I write, I get in those moments where I am bringing it back and I'm pulling it up and I'm looking at how stupid I was, like, how idiotic I was to get involved in this or do this or do whatever, you know, and then I write, and then after I write it and I perform it and I like write the song by it and I present it to my bandmates and we like play it live, then I'm like, I feel kind of a little more at peace about this and I don't feel as bad about it.
Yeah, I feel that.
It's the way I process things. And I get what you're saying by saying that you kind of kick yourself and hurt yourself creatively almost.
For sure, yeah.
Well, I feel like you were saying from a listening perspective rather than a creating perspective. Well,
yeah. I think from a creating perspective, yeah. I do that a lot. I mean, because I was going to say, a lot of my songs are kind of like that same thing of just like very literal, kind of like to the point of like, this is the shitty thing and it happened. Mm-hmm. And you were saying though, because like a lot of times when I think about that stuff too, it's like, I think back on those moments and it's just kind of like, I wish I could just like slap myself machine gun speeds. Just like, yo, dude, stop being the fucking worst.
I just want to punch myself in the face as a teenager sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you don't know what you got. Like, you got it so good.
You know, on the opposite end of that, though, I think back onto the reason I was, like, a shitty person as a teenager. And I also want to, like, hug that kid and be like, hey, dude, it's okay. You can tell people you're sad.
Yeah, totally. That too. I agree. Like, I want to punch myself and then be like, I'm sorry.
But, let me hug you. I want to interject here because kicking yourself in the groin doesn't sound like a positive experience.
Kick yourself in the groin and then say, oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
When listening to music like this, do you feel like the outcome is positive? Do you feel like better about yourself or like in the moment? I don't know. Like, is that a healthy thing to do? Or is it like self-loathing 24/7?
I don't know, actually.
I just want to get real for a sec.
No, for sure. I would say, I was just yesterday, I was reading that like Charles Schulz book, Happiness is a Sad Song. Uh-huh. And I feel like that's exactly it. And at least for me, like, I feel like if I give those feelings space, I feel good.
Yeah.
If I find myself like in a feedback loop, just oscillating the same thoughts again and again, that's when it becomes bad.
Totally. Yeah.
So I think depending on
that makes sense.
It's your thing like that.
Yeah. Because I was like, it's that validation aspect. Like, I think so much when we're in those loops or we're in these stressful elevated spaces and we're like, okay, we need to like de-escalate, we need to de-stress, right? So we're like, okay, we need relaxation or whatever. But like, relaxation so often is like stereotyped as like zen Enya bullshit.
It's not like that for everyone.
No, and like, there's literally research that's like, heavy metal can be relaxing. Yeah. And like, but it's that catharticism. It's that being able to like meet you where you are.
It's being okay with melancholy. Yeah. Like, sometimes melancholy is the best mood to be in. Like, sometimes I love just sitting at my computer and listening to like just kind of quiet, slow music and just feel like, you know, it's okay. Like, that's totally fine. You don't have to be happy. You don't have to be sad. You can just be even.
Yeah, it's meeting you where you're at.
And oftentimes that meditation, it's not zen. It's not crossing your legs and saying om. Sometimes it's peeling vegetables and cooking. That's how I meditate.
That was a hard thing for me to learn for a while too, was that meditating can be a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I feel like, do y'all know what a labyrinth is in like meditation? So the first time I encountered one of those, my friend explained it to me, and that was like the first form of meditation that took to me. And I kind of understood that it can be a more active process.
Mm-hmm.
But with what you were saying about, I guess like allowing yourself to feel that emotion.
Yeah.
Something I was thinking of, it's like the fifth time I've done this. song lyric that does that for me a lot of the time.
I'm super jealous of your ability to do that because I can't do that. Like I can't just recall lyrics. I have to sing the song.
I think it's mostly because of how much I've listened to certain songs. Right. Is that like I've always just been very obsessive. So I'd be like, all right, this is the song that I'm playing 70 times today. And I'm just doing that. And I'm cheating.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I have favorite songs that I'll listen to 70 times, but that's like 70 times over like a week. Like I'll listen to the song once or twice through the day.
On that note, there's this song called Paper Cut by Kevin Abstract. And on my Spotify Wrapped, it was like the first day you've listened to this was June 19th of this year. And then it was like, you hit 100 streams June 21st.
Oh, my
gosh. And I was like, fuck, cool.
That's amazing.
That's great. Wow.
Yeah, but the song lyric I was thinking of, there's this song called Fair Abraham by Matthew Lee Cothran, where the chorus is just, if I could end the world, I would end the world. And he says that a bunch, and it's like, that's a shitty feeling. That's not really something you want to feel, but you do feel that way. And it's kind of nice to just have that said in like...
And sometimes to that extreme, too.
Yeah, because it's like so melodramatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. But
that's, I mean, that melodrama or that like intense feeling is also what fuels a lot of that creativity.
Well, we suck at ending podcasts. Notoriously.
Do you? Yes.
We have a fun game that we like to play.
Uh-oh. Where's my phone?
Yeah. Oh, before we get to said game, do you have anything else you want to share about the song and or this band? And or... your creative endeavors and or you.
I think on the question of creative endeavors or you, I always leave that on if someone asks me a question. I never know how to like plug myself or describe myself in a way that doesn't feel like shitty.
Douchey.
Yeah, I'm fucking cool. I'm the shit actually. So
own it. You are the shit.
Like another thing I was going to say about Grouper, I don't know if you ended up listening to this song, but another one that I've kind of been listening to a bunch today was her song Heavy Water, which I feel like has a similar kind of sense to the lyrics.
Yeah.
Because the chorus is, it's like, I don't know if she says in or on, but it's like on dreams, I'm flowing through heavy water. And then the love is enormous. It's like rising me up, and then she follows it up by saying, I'd rather be sleeping. I'd rather be in tidal waves, down where the deepest currents flow.
Wow.
Which is like just being like, I don't want love. I don't want these good things. I just want to drown. I just want to be dead. And so like, I think she's really good at doing that because it's, that song's another one too, where it feels like I find myself doing that and hearing a person sing that. It's like, oh, I don't want that. I don't want that anymore. That sucks. That's a terrible reality.
Yeah, totally. I agree.
Yeah.
But she's cool. I've really only listened to a bit of her.
Harris is her name.
Yeah. And
Grouper as in the fish.
I think her reasoning behind it was not the fish, which is interesting because it lines up.
Oh, okay. Cool. The a person who gathers a group. I am a grouper.
I think so. That kind of reminds me of the reasoning behind Catcher in the Rye.
I don't know that.
In the book Catcher in the Rye, Holden keeps having dreams where he saves children because they're like playing in a rye field next to a cliff, and that's the reason the book's called that.
Oh, because he catches like kids from falling off the cliff in the rye,
which. A friend of mine gave me new understanding of that book because that whole part is like the book is about Holden being sexually abused and then it's him wanting to save kids from certain scenarios, which changed my mind on that book a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of people like to give that book a lot of shit.
I've been actually doing the audiobook for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm only a few chapters in. I struggle with audiobooks. Like I have to be doing something mindless and my job is not mindless.
I feel that. I have a hard time. And
so I have an issue with that. So like when I do audiobooks, I do them very slowly. But I'm a few chapters in.
I'm sorry if I spoiled anything.
Oh no, it's fine. Well no, now I can think about it. And I knew the premise, you know, cuz it's classic literature. I think spoilers are okay after the book has been out for more
decades.
Than, yeah, more than a decade.
Yeah, for sure.
If you don't know, then where have you been?
Yeah. All right. So the band name.
It's time for
band names.
Band names. No. Oh, fine. Okay.
No.
No song?
No song.
Oh, okay. I love impromptu songs.
We can try. Do it.
Give me a beat.
Do you want like a beatbox or do you want like hand claps?
Oh, gosh. It's band names, bitch. That's it. I hated that. Thanks. I loved it.
All right.
So it evens out. It was neutral.
It was natural.
Oh, I have so many band names. Do you do this? I keep a list of band names on my phone at all times, and I'm constantly adding to it.
So fake band names, Matt invents band names.
It's long. It's very long.
Oh, shit. You know, a friend of mine does this.
Our job to come up with what genre this band is, what their first single is, and what their album is.
Yeah. So the album and then the hit single off that album.
So what's the band name, Matt?
So I have a few.
Just scroll and let
I'm just going to... Okay.
Your face.
Queen of Sharts.
First of all, it's a children's band because who besides children use the word shart?
Queen of Sharts, though.
I'm going to throw this in. I feel like it fits in with a lot of what would either be like folk punky or like hyper pop, but like a queer band that does music that is kind of like off kilter and fucked up sounding. Yes. That's what I think of when I hear Queen of Sharts.
Yes. Is it sharts or sharks?
Sharts.
Like as shitting in poop
shit fart. Okay, yeah, shit fart. Okay. Shart.
I can see that. I can see that.
Yes. I'm
here for that.
Like you hear the band and like they play and you go like, oh, I can smell half-smoked cigarettes.
Yeah. What I was thinking is like the psychedelic fringe folk punk bands, like the ones that are like with the like traveling scum punks or whatever they're called. Crust punks, like the people who travel around and they're just exceptionally shitty, but they don't care. And so it's like kind of admirable. And so you like hang out anyways, cause it's kind of fun.
I've met them once and if they ever listen to this, they'll hate the shit out of me. But, Days and Days.
Oh.
If you ever listen to that band.
Yeah. I will now.
I smell BO every time I listen to them. Like it's like the most tangible sense of cool. BO.
That's tight. Amazing.
I'm down for that.
So do we settle on
Oh my god. Can that be the single name? Tangible sense of BO.
That's the single. All right, what's the album then?
Let's get sweaty. I'm kidding.
How about we're not gonna take it no more.
No.
Oh, it's
ripped, I think someone took that
elbows.
One.
Mm. Ripped elbows.
Something last PBR in the pack.
We shall not go.
I kind of like last PBR in the pack.
I like room temperature. Last PBR in the past.
Or here, another one, Happy Hunting in the Walmart parking lot.
Oh,
that's the okay.
That's I'm here for that.
And like and the picture's like someone with like a ripped up skirt and like fucking a handful of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like yes, a soggy handful of cigarettes.
Yeah, they fucking suck.
Oh, yeah.
And then the single again is what is it?
Tangible Scent of BO.
Yes. I'm here for it.
That's a great one. So, wow.
Someone in the band has rainbow hair.
They all have rainbow hair.
Yeah, at least one person has braided armpit hair, though.
At least one person wears a white tutu and paints their face like the Tim Burton Queen of Hearts, but like wears a diaper or something weird.
I like the idea of a band all wearing diapers too. Like, do you know the Seatbelts?
No,
I don't. They did the music for Cowboy Bebop.
Oh.
Their whole gimmick was that they would wear seatbelts while they played. So it's just like that, but they wear
I love Cowboy Bebop.
They wear like half shit in diapers or something.
Well, yeah, that's
the fuck?
Because they're like they're like that crust punk fringe shitty folk punk band.
They like put on their diapers and they're like, "All right, guys, let's get started. And then they like take their poo together.
No, then they say, let's get started.
That's the grossest all shit. Right,
okay. I'm so sorry.
No, that's fucking funny.
And with that.
And with that. And on that high note. Oh, Emma, are you going to do the jingle or not?
What did we decide last time?
We didn't. We've never decided. I had to lecture. I had to have a talk with you.
You lectured me.
I did, because you keep changing.
Well,
make a decision.
Just do it. Just stop asking and do it. Spacebar.
Oh, okay. Don't tell me what to do. Thanks as always to Cole and BB for the music at the top and bottom of each episode. Be sure to check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Mixtape Remedies. And check out mixtaperemedies.com.